up a few verses from it. Psalm 104. Bless the Lord, O my soul. O Lord, my God, you are very great. You are clothed with honor and majesty, wrapped in light as with a garment. You stretch out the heavens like a tent. You set the beams of your chambers on the waters. You make clouds your chariot. You ride on the wings of the wind. You make the winds your messengers, fire and flame your ministers. You set the earth on its foundations so that it shall never be shaken. You cover it with the deep as with a garment. The waters stood above the mountains. At your rebuke, they flee. At the sound of your thunder, they take flight. They rose up to the mountains, ran down to the valleys, to that place you appointed for them. You set a boundary that they may not pass, so that they might not again cover the earth. O Lord, how manifold are your works. In wisdom you have made them all. The earth is full of your creatures. Praise the Lord. Amen. Pardon me. All right. That's what we're talking about today. It ain't always pretty. So, I know, such wonderful words, as if everything is always just wonderful. Recently, Ron and I have been taking some really spectacular hikes, and I don't know if you've been out in the wilderness a little bit, uphills, downhills, on the flat, whether you've been visiting somewhere else. I fill my Facebook up with beautiful flowers, you know, the delicate purples of harebells and purple wild bergamot and white pearly everlastings and beautiful paintbrush these days of red and orange. They're gorgeous. And in one of those photos, I thought it was really important for me to put a picture that I took of a huge, big pile of almost steaming bear poop. Now, I am sure that it was very good for the bear. Leaving us this reminder was probably glorious and very satisfying, but if you look really careful at it, it's full of little hairs. So I'm sure it wasn't all that satisfying for the little animals that he had eaten, or she. It reminded me that nature isn't always pretty. It ain't always pretty. And it's not that the beauty of creation is not in every living thing. It is. It's just that it's not always tidy. And to our own human eyes, maybe not even beautiful. I mean, I've seen the beauty of a sea slug, but if you've ever, you know, picked one up or eaten one, they're not as beautiful as you think. We see on social media, including my own social media, I believe people are usually drawn to the beautiful. To the beautiful. I'm probably the only one who put bear poop on her Facebook last week. We're drawn to the beautiful. We're drawn to the tidy. We're drawn to the meaningful. And we're drawn to the neat, if things just work out the way they should. Often, when people go into the wilderness or go for a walk or find nature, it's to escape the messiness of life. But nature isn't always neat. Sometimes it is messy. Things die. Things get eaten. Forest fires start. And the forest grows up again. And it's not that a whole thing isn't amazing. And it's not that the whole thing doesn't work in tandem and in harmony, even forest fires. I mean, if you ever studied photosynthesis, what a miracle. And the life cycle of an insect, what a miracle. And the bumblebee and that whole circle of life thing, it is a miracle. But alongside those pictures of lazuli buntings and yellow warblers, somebody last week posted a picture of a blue jay eating a dead mouse. And then I saw a magpie eating somebody's baby chick. Oh, the wonder of nature. Ain't always pretty. Once when we were on a sailing trip. We were on a sail ship, a schooner, in Haida Gwaii, and we were taking a little putt-putt visit on a Zodiac out to see some of the critters out there. And we're passing by a shelf, and I noticed that a shellfish, I think an abalone or something, had, which is a big snail, fell over, and its poor little innards were up into the sun, and I was going to reach and flip it over, and the guide said, "No, don't." Well, you might be taking away the seagull's lunch if you flip that. So I didn't. And I may have saved its life for another day if I had flipped it over, but the seagull wouldn't have eaten. So such is nature, sometimes icky. Our scriptures are full of natural images. There are creation stories all through it. There are the two that you know in Genesis. There's one in Job. And then the Psalms are all full of creation things. Like what you heard this morning, you stretch out the heavens like a tent. The fire and flame are your ministers. And it goes on and on. It's that particular psalm. The trees of the field are watered abundantly. The cedars of Lebanon that God planted, and the birds build their nests, all that. And the one, the high mountains are for the wild goats, the rocks are a refuge for the rabbits. What if we were to say, the rocks are a refuge for the marmots who sometimes find themselves in the bellies of grizzlies? Ah. And this one from the book of Job, I think you heard me preach about this last year maybe. It has a creation story of its own, and the creation narrative is actually recited in the voice of God in Job. And if you know the book of Job, Job has lost everything, and there's like chapters and chapters of all the things that Job has lost, and then many chapters of his friends who've come to help him out and tell him, you must have been doing something wrong. And he says, no. And he continues to complain. I don't know why this is happening to me, but it's just not good. But God, do you remember where God speaks? Where the voice of God comes? It comes from a whirlwind. A whirlwind. A tornado. And God pretty much, he says, hold my beer. And pretends and just proceeds to tell Job all about what life is all about. God puts on this voice after, hold my beer. Can you hunt prey for the lion or satisfy the appetite of the young lions when they crouch in their dens? Who provides the raven its prey when its young ones cry to God and wander about for lack of food? There's this attitude of here we are, and God is providing all this. Do you, like, pretty much tells Job, you are just you're another cog in creation. The words from Job border on not neat. God actually never answers the question of why is this happening to me. Never does. Never talks about why Job is suffering. It's a mystery. And so alongside all this wonderful miracle of creation is this, like, what? The big question of the mystery of how things work. I think we are, as humans, drawn to tidiness. We want things to make sense. We want things to mesh together. We want it to, like, work. We like neat. I like neat. Do you like neat? Do you like tidy? I got a quick story here. I was getting used to having a tidy life. Because about 3 years ago, our dog died. It was very sad. And then I retired mostly, and Ron is retired mostly. And the house was mostly uncluttered at last. We bought nice furniture. We bought nice furniture. And now recently, we have adopted a cat and a dog. Life is not neat anymore. It is not tidy. It is wonderful and it's exciting, but it is not neat. We could talk all about that. I wonder, perhaps the holy never means for us to have purely tidy lives, the way everything works out. I mean, we don't have tidy institutions, and we don't have tidy societies, not really. Or if we think it's all perfect and working out, we're missing something. I believe that the growth, the questions, the changes, and the very life of everything happens at the margins, where it's messy and painful and sometimes sad and not neat, the place of bear poop. At those margins, those not neat places, those icky places, is where Jesus showed up. Do you remember those stories? Actually, Jesus continues to show up there. Jesus did not sprout from some tidy organization. He showed up in Galilee. Galilee was renowned to be somewhat of a backwater region. He lived his life on the edge. He irritated everybody. Well, almost. Jesus placed himself amongst the poor and the ill and the discouraged and the confused and the suffering and those who needed a leg up. Not in the nice, tidy portions of society. Jesus taught that the kingdom of God was among them. I can only imagine looks of disbelief when the motley crew of the assembly of poor and the sick and the cast-offs and the grieving and the struggling heard Jesus say that they were blessed. Blessed are you, those who are suffering. Blessed are you, those who are grieving. Blessed are you. They would have gone, what? This is not neat. I don't understand. And here's an observation. Because I just had to follow this little, maybe this is a rabbit I'm following, but why is it when societies want to tidy things up, they mean to make things look like the ideals of the dominant class? You know what I mean? In our context, somehow people didn't conform. If they didn't conform to certain standards, they were often demonized, persecuted, prosecuted, imprisoned, marginalized. Think of the 2S LGBTQ plus folk, non-whites, non-European, non-male. Over the years, think of the movements in humanity's past and future where governments and societies try to make everyone the same or else eliminate them if they're different. You can name them: Nazism, residential schools, pogroms, witch hunts, the Inquisition. Conform or die. Be neat, fit into our model of what is right, or get out. It's an ugly thing. The ugly part of humanity's quest for order, I guess, and an ugly side to having everything tidy and everything neat. That is not where God is. And when I read the news and see the news on the internet sometimes, I think, I almost thought at some point that we are growing up as a society, and then I read the news and I go, oh yeah, oh yeah. As a society, it is important to affirm that it is messy at the margins. But that doesn't mean that the kingdom can't arise from there. Actually, Jesus showed us that it's exactly where the kingdom arises, from the margins. Now, I'm just guessing this. I'm going to be, you know, speculating, but I'll bet a lot of us try to have neat, orderly lives that fit into our you know, our thoughts of what creation and life and everything should be. We try. But we may have a little tiny tad of messiness in us. Do we? I know I do. A little bit of chaos on the edges. Something that doesn't really fit or fit with one's order of what you think it should be. We often give the impression or want to give the impression that everything is tidily in drawers and behind cupboards and just very neatly set out. But if we squint a bit at the edges of our lives, we might find a little untidiness, maybe some unmet expectations, the occasional fractured relationship, a couple of goals that got abandoned, maybe some procrastinations, some calls that were supposed to have been made, but they haven't been made yet, possibly a few regrets. Messy. It's messy. Were Jesus to be incarnate again in our society and in our lives, that's where he would show up. That is where he does show up. In the bear poop times. This is so strong a message in our Gospels. I have no hesitation in saying that if everything seems tidy, something is wrong. My messy self just loves that. Something is being hidden, something is being ignored, something is being squelched if everything is tidy. If you want to see where growth and healing and transformation is, you have to look wider to the messy margins, to where it isn't all that neat. I was reminded by somebody in a writing once who it was examining the beauty of simple living cells. You know, the little cells that make up every living thing. It is at the margins, it is at the cell membrane where all the action happens. Nutrients come in, and waste is excreted. Things go in and things go out, and the cell will live or die depending on the health of the margin, the health of the cell membrane. They were trying to tell us, remind us, to pay attention to the margins. The health of a society is at the margins. That's where the action is, where the truth is, and it is where Jesus is, in the chaos and the mess. So yeah, let's all look for the glory of God in the universe and in beautiful vistas and in beautiful flowers and in skies. Let's marvel at the beauty of photosynthesis and whales and the bumblebee and how everything works together. But as much as God is there, it's at least as important to remember that this world includes bear poop and tornadoes and addictions and pain, and human frailty, and all of our regrets. And that's where Jesus is. That's where God is, holding and healing and nurturing and redeeming and opening our eyes to the kingdom of God, where we may not even expect it. Thanks be to God. Amen.